Greetings, greetings. It's such an honor to be with you today. I'm excited about this series, The Work of the Ecclesia. And I'm here with another message in this series. And this one is entitled, Bishop, the Overseer. I'll say that title again for you. Bishop, the Overseer. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. And it says, "For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Now, it's amazing. Even as this writing articulates in reference, or it's giving reference rather to Jesus, who is the bishop of all souls. I want you to consider that for a moment. He is the grand overseer of this thing. He is the head of the church of God, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the righteous. He is the bishop of all souls. And when we consider that, when we see our Lord Jesus in his capacity to oversee and overshadow everything, we get a glimmer, or we get an understanding of the importance of the bishop in his role as the overseer of the church of God. Now, we're going to look into the Word of God a bit deeper. We're going to see some criteria according to the Word of God, of what a bishop should be. And we're going to find some right here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. There's a little criteria. It says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy profit, but patient, not a brawler, one who gets into fights, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach, which is disgrace or shame, and the snare of the devil." Now we're going to break that down, because I believe it's important to understand, you know, this office of a bishop, like any office in the church of God, is a serious one. The one of the things that jumped out to me, and I believe it's a vast word, which is, he says, this bishop, well, first of all, he says he. So if a bishop's supposed to be a she, then we got to take that up with the Word of God. But it says he, so I'm going to believe that the Word of God is implying that a bishop is a he. Now, I know that's going to ruffle some feathers, but hey, I'm just delivering the Word of God. That's all I'm doing here today. So he is supposed to be blameless, which means, and I think this is the short of it, nobody should be able to point a finger at you and say, hey, he's a crook. Oh, he's a thief. Oh, he's a liar. Oh, he's a whatever accusation they're gonna level at you, let it be, oh, he liked the Word of God too much, oh, he's a preacher, oh, he holy, oh, let it be stuff that, you know, let it be stuff that bigs up and promotes the kingdom of God, not things that cast a dark shadow on the things of God and the kingdom of God. So you should be blameless. It goes into describing the things, the general things that we're familiar with. Husband of one wife, says vigilant, sober, hospitable. What else we got here? Not given to wine, which means he shouldn't be a drunkard. It didn't say he shouldn't drink wine. It's just saying that he shouldn't be a drunkard. Said he shouldn't be greedy of filthy profit. In other words, his profit or the things that he should seek the profit in is primarily the things of God. And I believe that if we seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's going to add all things. He's not saying that a bishop shouldn't seek to be profitable outside of the church of God, but it says, notice it says, filthy profit. It means that you shouldn't be laundering money. You shouldn't be involved in things of the underworld. Your profit should be clean. You should be a good businessman. You should be somebody that's a good steward of business. Patient. Not covetous. Because you see somebody else got a big church, you say, well, you know what? They think they can build a big one. Let me show them. No. A bishop is supposed to be somebody that is grounded because he is the face of the ministry. I don't know, that one just hit me. He is the overseer, and as the overseer pretty much on this totem pole or on this structure that we're viewing, this structure that is pretty much under the Christ, set up with men and women where they fit, this guy is pretty much the face of the ministry. When people view your ministry, they see you, whatever ministry it is, and people ask, who's your bishop or who's your pastor? But today we're talking about the bishop. They ask, who's your bishop? This guy is the face of the organization. So can you imagine if your bishop is corrupt, or bishop, if you're corrupt, you're causing people to view everybody in association with you through the lens of corruption. And that says a lot. Now, am I saying that everybody's going to love you? No. There are going to be some people that absolutely hate you. But when I look at the life of Jesus, and I believe that this is our greatest example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ is our ultimate, we're following him ultimately, right? No questions asked. When we look at his life, one of the craziest things they said about our Lord was that he was a wine bibber. What was another thing they said? That he liked to be, they had a problem with him being with the sinners. It was like, but his behavior, let's look at it. I was just talking to somebody about this just yesterday, actually. Although our Lord hung with the sinners, he did not allow their behavior to cause him, or he didn't conform to their behavior. In other words, they change to suit him. I wonder if you get this, man. It didn't matter who he hung out with. He didn't become a follower, or they didn't influence him. He influenced them. A young person asked me one time ago, we were talking about the things of God. And you, of course, they're young. So, you know, they're young. They want to do things. They want to go places. And the fella asked me, he said, do you believe that there are certain places we couldn't go? Basically, is what he was asking me. And I said, brother, you can go wherever you want to go. Because it's not where you go, but it's how you act when you get there. And I believe for ages, we've been told in Christendom, don't go here, don't go left, don't go right. And I understand what we were trying to say. But I believe that we've got to understand that greater is he. We really understand that greater is he that is in us, that is in the world. We wouldn't tell people that, because we are designed as the church of God to gain territory for the kingdom of God. We are told in the word of God that if the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God is going to set up a standard against him. We are also told that the gates of hell shall not prevail against a church. Now, the last time I checked, gates don't move, right? Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Gates don't move. So it means that you got to go to a gate. So in going to a gate, it means that you are the one that's moving forward or moving toward. And it shows you the posture of the church of God as we go forward. We go forward to gain territory for the kingdom of God. And any gate in our way is not going to stop us. We're going to trample gates. We're going to trample kingdoms. This has to be our mindset. And we're still talking about the bishop. I may have seen the gotten sidetracked. But my point that I'm trying to make is, as the overseer, the bishop's job is so important because he is literally the face of the ministry. And people may say, oh, you're giving him so much power. But this is the truth. He is the face of the ministry. He is the one that when people hear, you go to so-and-so church. Who's the bishop? That's the bishop. Okay, and they began to rehash memories, past, present, future, and they began to, and this is what they go on, you know, because this is their relationship. So a bishop, like the first, one of the first words that is mentioned, it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. But here's the thing, bishop. A bishop then must be blameless. You can't be known as a womanizer, bishop. You can't be known as, you've got to be spotless. Well, I know they say, oh boy. I know, guess what? We're not perfect yet, but we're in a strive to perfection. We're just trying to be better than we was yesterday. So it's a gradual thing, but we've got to strive for it. And like I said earlier, everybody isn't going to love you, but you've got to be in pursuit of God's holiness. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, a bishop must have a good name outside the ecclesia. It's fine that everybody loves you. Generally, everybody in your assembly is going to love you. Now, when you spread out beyond your assembly or your fellowship to the sister churches or to the other fellowships, how do they feel about you? Because these still Holy Ghost filled people we're talking about, these still blood bought people, tongue talking people here, these still water baptized in Jesus' name people we're talking about, how do they view you as a bishop? And this message is important because those of you that are listening that are not the bishop, you've got to be asking yourself, how do I view bishop? Don't view him as somebody that's untouchable, untaintable. He's a human being, yes. Although the scripture does say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So he is a kingdom citizen or whatever moniker you want to throw on him. But he is still just like you. But at the same time, if he is in error, if he is walking outside of the will of God, and that involves doing things that pervert you or abuse you, you can praise and admire and worship that, because you become an enabler to what he's doing. So that's why this message is important. As the face of the body, or not your, or the body, let me bring that back, as the face of your fellowship, this man has to be blameless, and you are responsible. I'm putting the onus on you today, parishioner, associate pastor, minister, evangelist, whoever you are, usher. You are to help this man be blameless. And I know that's a big task or a big ask, but I want you to consider what I'm saying here today. You can't enable people. if they're abusing people, if they're misusing, perverting people, if they're doing things that are ungodly, you can't just slap it on the wrist or play a blind eye. You become an enabler. And as an enabler, you're a problem, because you enable that cancer to spread. Instead of nullifying and dealing with it, you justify it and you make it okay. And the abusers continue to mount. The cases continue to grow. And before you know it, the whole fellowship is ashamed. So a bishop, and among all those things that are being described under the word blameless, mean blameless. They're trying to, in this, the writer's trying to explain to us what blameless is. So he's got to be blameless. But let's move on a little further. I'm reading from Acts chapter 20, verse 28 rather. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, to feed the church of the Lord God, Lord and God, which he has purchased with his own blood." And this is what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen, because we don't have a heaven to put anybody in. Jesus paid for this church by his blood. So, Bishop, first thing you need to do, in accordance to the word of God, is you've got to take heed to yourself. In other words, you've got to know exactly who you are. Know and acknowledge your weaknesses. And when you do that, then you have to be accountable. Not everybody is okay to be in your circle, Bishop, because there are some people that just want to talk your business. But there are some people you're going to need around you that are going to help you maintain your integrity. And Bishop, because you're a bishop, you should know who these people are. These people that are not yes men and women, these people that can hold you accountable. Ultimately, you are accountable to your fellowship and overall to the Church of the Living God worldwide. But it helps to have some people close to you that can pull your coat, that can keep you, that can help to keep you in line, because ultimately you've got to work out your own salvation. So you've got to take heed to yourself. You know that's your weakness. Don't flirt with it. Don't entertain it. Don't play with it, because you know it is going to bite you. And then after you've taken heed to yourself, you've already girded yourself up with that truth, then you can focus on the flock of God. Because God has made you the overseer. When God appoints you and he anoints you, it doesn't matter who rejects you. Bishop, God has made you the overseer. So you have a heavy mandate. The devil wants you to fall. He wants you to be careless and callous. But you've got too much at stake. I'm not just talking about your collar and your job. I'm talking about the people that you are leading. Understand that people, if you fall, and let's be real, if you fall, you're going to affect many. I'm saying this because, Bishop, you don't have to fall, because you can prevent the roadblocks. You can walk cautiously. We've got to walk according to the word of God, which is we've got to walk according to the vocation by which we have called. Bishop, you've got an earnest mandate. And I pray for pastors, and I pray for you, Bishop, because the pressure is on. Being the face of the fellowship, you are the target of the enemy. Because if you can get the face to fall, everything else is going to follow. So, Bishop, the church was purchased with the blood of Jesus. And you've got to understand that it belongs exclusively to him. This ain't your church, Bishop. That fellowship ain't yours. I don't care what they say. I don't care what you change the name to. If that be a church of God, that belongs exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ because it was purchased with his blood. And if you operate from that stance, the enemy will not be able to trip you up. I wonder if you hear me today. If you operate from that understanding, Bishop, the enemy's wiles will not overcome you. So, Bishop, be strengthened, be encouraged. And let us continue. Those of us that know we have bishops that are walking according to the word of God and his principles, let's continue to lift them up and encourage them because their job isn't easy. But they need a supporting cast that's going to continue to lift them up before God. So I'll see you next time as we continue the series, The Work of the Ecclesia. Blessings on you.